Coming up on This Week in Radio Tech, our old friend Chuck Kelly is with us, and Chuck always finds the coolest stuff, the most worthwhile technologies, and this time he's come across TX Control. It is cloud-based transmitter and other facility monitoring that gives you a wonderful dashboard. It's all done over SNMP. It is the modern, cool way to go. It's so effective. I'm loving this. Plus, one of the developers, Amma Jatta, is going to be with us as well. It's all coming up next on TWRT.
This Week in Radio Tech is brought to you by Broadcasters General Store, with outstanding service, savings, and support, online at bgs.cc. By Broadcast Bionics, with the Bionic Studio, including talk show control, social media, and visual radio, Broadcast Bionics brings exceptional audience engagement to radio and TV. By Angry Audio. Audio problems disappear when you get angry at angryaudio.com.
By Nautel. Worry-free transmission you can count on with outstanding control, reliability, efficiencies, and Nautel's unmatched 24/7 customer support. Online at nautel.com.
And by MaxConnect Wireless. Prioritized high-speed internet service designed for transmitter sites and remote broadcasts.
Hey, welcome into This Week in Radio Tech. It's the show where we talk about everything from the microphone to that light bulb from the top of the tower. I'm Kirk Harnack. So delighted to be here. It's a wonderful Thursday in, what is this, June? Yeah, June 22nd. Hey, yesterday was the longest daylight of the year in the Northern Hemisphere anyway. The summer solstice. And now the days get shorter, or the daylights get shorter. The days are all 24 hours long. Hey, welcome in. We got a wonderful topic here. It's something that you knew had to happen. And of course, some people are making it happen. You know, when a technology is kind of inevitable, somebody's going to do it. And so we're going to talk about it. I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, in the Telos Alliance studio here in Nashville. Really appreciate Telos giving me, you know, an hour and a half off every Thursday afternoon to do this show and to bring you engineering guests from kind of around, or certainly around the country, but some around the world as well. Hey, Chris Tarr is here as well. Chris, man, it's good to see you. I've been missing you. Thanks for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been busy. I've been a busy guy. So I'm going to send you an email. It's going to transfer tonight. You're going to see it in the morning. You're going to reply, and it's going to transfer overnight, and then I'm going to see it. You're talking about FidoNet. That was just my memory of emailing on FidoNet. You know, I could probably, you know, send you a snail mail faster than Fido Network back in the day. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. We're here in Muguatago. We're here in Muguatago. It's sunny today and in the 80s. It is my daughter's 16th birthday today, which is why I'm hiding upstairs. I don't know if I want a big part of that right now, but there you go. It's been a crazy couple of weeks here at Casa de Tar with all the engineering stuff going on. But finally, I have a small break, and then after the birthday dinner and everything, I'm on the road again for a little bit. So taking a few minutes out here, it's good to just kind of put breaks on and spend a few minutes with you guys.
Well, and I know that when I was telling you about the topic of today's show, and the magic four letters were mentioned, SNMP. Was it SNMP? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
well, you also mentioned Chuck, and I like Chuck. So yeah, you know, there was those two things.
That's five letters. Let's bring him in. Chuck Kelly, international engineer of renown and friend to all of us broadcast engineers. Chuck, welcome in. It's so good to see you.
Thanks, Kirk, and thanks for having me. It's nice to be back, and good to see you as well, Doc. I'm in Noblesville, Indiana today, just north of Indianapolis. It's a lovely day in the high in the 70s, and just excited to be here. It's nice to be able to share this technology with you.
Chuck, there aren't too many people who haven't met you in one role or another, but would you just give us the real quick curriculum vitae of what you've been doing? I've known you for, goodness gracious, it's got to be 40-plus years. And I joke about what Chris referred to. I joke about FidoNet. Is we didn't meet on FidoNet, but we met, and you told me about this FidoNet thing that I need to get involved with. So you know that was a long time ago.
Yeah, actually, I think it may have been the Broadcast Professionals Forum on CompuServe.
Quite likely.
You remember that?
Yeah,
I think that's where it was. And that was a little gathering place for people communicating as only people with 300 baud modems can.
Well, you've been at a couple of places through your career and made a great
mark. This is actually my 50th year in broadcast engineering. Oh, wow. I started in 1973, and I worked for a number of different radio stations as engineer. Even worked at a couple as program director and news director as well, until I decided I enjoyed engineering more. Then I went to work for the old ITC, which became part of 3M. Then I went to work for Broadcast Electronics.
Yes.
And then from Broadcast Electronics, I went up to Nautel up in Canada. Yep. And then I went back to the Elanos Group, which owns Broadcast Electronics. And I retired from there a little over a year ago, and doing consulting now for a number of different companies.
Well, see, would you say you're working part time or full time these days?
Oh, it's part time. It's part time. Okay. I'm doing the things I like to do when I want to do them, and that's kind of a good thing to do.
Gotcha. So it's not a case of everybody's tired of Chuck and won't hire him full time, and just wants a little bit of Chuck. It's not that at all.
I'm having a good time. I'm working, as I said, five different companies all over the place, and just things that I like to do and things that I get interested in.
Hey, I've heard, Chuck, you give a number of scholarly or scholarly-like papers at different conventions. One time I heard you speak, I believe it was in India. At a broadcast engineering convention there. Well, let me ask you, thinking about the different topics you have spoken on over your career, what do you think has been your favorite paper? What do you think either made a mark, you enjoyed researching? This is good stuff.
In the past, my favorite was a presentation I gave before a bunch of broadcast owners, and it was about overmodulation. They were all over modulating like crazy, 200 or 300% modulation on FM. And I had to explain, you know, that on AM, you actually get more power out of a transmitter if you over modulate, but on FM you don't. And the IF filters and the receivers don't change. So you don't actually get more loudness. And I said, you know, this huge group of 200 or so owners of stations. And I said, who is your competitor? And they all pointed at each other. And I said, no, your competitor is newspapers and billboards and everything else. And the more trashed up you make our media, the less margin we're each going to make.
Yeah.
And that's the best. Now, the one I'm looking forward to the most is the one I'm giving up at the Wisconsin Broadcasters in Madison this fall. Oh. And it's about being ready to retire. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm not talking about, you know, figuring out what kind of health insurance, Medicare supplement you may choose, because there's dozens of people that want to handle your finances and choose your Medicare plan for you. I'm talking about psychologically. Mm. When I worked for ITC, and Jack Jenkins, who owned the company, sold it to 3M. He was driving back from the attorney's office with his check for multiple millions of dollars and had a heart attack. And it was because he really didn't know what he wanted to do with his life after owning that company. He hadn't thought ahead. And, you know, looking at an SBE meeting or looking at the two of you, all three of us, we should be thinking about this. We should be thinking about what are we going to do after 8 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Well, that's a serious note, and I want to pick back up on that. Although we have some legit engineering stuff to talk about too. But right now, actually, both of you can help me with this next quick announcement, because our friends at Nautel want me to say a couple nice things about their transmitters, specifically the GV2 transmitter. This is a new series of transmitters. They've added some functionality to it. And Chris Starr, have you installed any of these yet? The GV2 series?
Not the GV2. No, just the GVs.
Well, the GV2 supports HD radio with Xperi Gen 4 importer, exporter, and XGen implementations for HD radio encoding, station logo, artist experience, and it's the first solution that locks FM and HD signals synchronously to eliminate the HD-FM blend drift. Well, that's a long thing to say. For example, Omnia for Nautel covers all FM and HD radio audio processing needs and provides LiveWire AOI input, AOIP input for all your audio streams. No additional hardware is required. Seriously, you plug LiveWire into it, send that audio, and your processing for the FM and the HDs is all there. It has a new IQ interface card, a new HTML AUI. That's that advanced user interface. It has embedded compute engine with 10 times more processing power. Good. Optimized power supply, solid state storage, and it has a virtualization engine. That's a lot. And then there's some optional things you can get with it as well, like that blend lock FM HD synchronization. You can get that Omnia for Nautel FM and HD audio processing and the Gen 4 X-Gen modulator, plus an air chain selector. So also a software-based air chain support. The Nautel GV2, it's the best of show 2023 Radio World winner. And by the way, we're talking about the GV2 because the transmission talk Tuesday, the next one isn't until the middle of July. We will alert you when you should register for that. You can register right now, nautel.com/webinars. Click on Transmission Talk Tuesday, and you can get yourself registered there. But I wanted to let you know about the Nautel GV2. All right, thanks, Nautel, for sponsoring this week in Radio Tech. We're talking to Chris Tarr and Chuck Kelly. Chuck, tell you what, let's outline the big reason that we're here to have a chat today about this pretty good use of technology. Something about transmitter control. What are we talking about?
Called TX control, and it's almost a misnomer in a sense because it is a monitoring and control system, a telemetry system, but it isn't limited to transmitters. Basically, anything that can be communicated with SNMP can work, and that covers lots of different things. So, and it's not limited as well to any one brand. This company that is behind this is a company called 22HBG, and it was formed out of the Elanos Group, and in fact, the founder of 22HBG is the son of Leonardo Bussi, who is the head of the Elanos Group, and the owner. And this system is unique in the sense that it doesn't have hardware. It's a cloud-based monitoring and control system running on Amazon Web Services that talks to the SNMP inputs of all your products. I will say transmitters, but it's all your products, anything that can be SNMP controlled and monitored. And it's on the air now in Europe with over 1,500 transmitters connected up to it and other devices. So it's now spreading. It was at NAB this year and won an award just like Nautel did. For the most innovative, creative new product. And I heard about it a few months ago and started playing around with it and learning about it. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool. I've heard about the cloud. I've heard a lot of people talk about the cloud, both in a positive sense, as a leading edge technology, but also with a little fear. People say, well, there really isn't any such thing as the cloud. It's somebody else's computer. But in this case, what the benefits are far outperform any concerns and worries, and it actually provides much more stability and what's the right word? Reliability than any other approach, than any hardware-based approach, for sure.
I would say that using the cloud, and then you get a dashboard in the cloud to look at, control, monitor your transmitters and other devices, and this service is kind of optimized for what broadcasters need. You don't have to worry about your computer going down that you use to do all this. That's taken care of in the cloud. Computer dies, they move it over something else. I'm looking through their brochure here at the kind of the setup procedure and all the things you can look at. I'm really excited. I want to go over that. Let's lay a little bit of a foundation. Chris Tarr has taught a number of SBE members, including myself, some things about SNMP. I've learned what I can, but I still haven't gotten my feet wet, my hands dirty with SNMP yet. Chris, I wonder if you would take a few minutes here to remind us kind of what SNMP is and why it's a legit way to monitor and control equipment all over Ethernet. What can you tell us about that integration?
Sure. First of all, SNMP stands for Simple Network Monitoring Protocol. And it was developed a long time ago. Radio is actually kind of later, hopping on this train a little bit late, but it was designed for monitoring servers and computers and things like that in an enterprise environment. And the way it works is there are strings and MIMP files. We can get into that later on. But essentially what it does is it sends and receives commands or monitors or alerts using very low bandwidth IP packets. And so, for example, if I want to control a transmitter, I can send a string to the transmitter. The transmitter understands that string and takes an action. That transmitter can also send a value with a string, and I can look at that and use that for telemetry, or it can send an alarm trap that says that there's something wrong. But it's very simple back and forth information, very low bandwidth. But it's universal. It's a standard. So everybody talks the same way with this. All you need is they call it a MIB file, which is just basically the instructions on the codes that you need to use and what the values are that you want to expect. So, for example, like with Nautel, you've got a command, a string, and then depending on what that string value is, the transmitter will do something. So if you send the string with the value of 1, it'll turn the transmitter on. If you send the string with a value of 0, it turns the transmitter on. Or in the transmitter, you can pull the transmitter and say, what's the value of this string? And they'll say 1,000. Okay, transmitter's 1,000 watts. So, and it can be anything. It can be any device. Like I've got a PPM encoder that understands SNMP, and I can say, okay, this string, I'm going to ask for the string. And if it comes back with a 0, it's okay. If it comes back with a 1, there's a fault. And I can program my remote control to say, okay, if that comes back with a 1 or a fault, that's an alarm. Call me and tell me that. So, the BERT remote control system, which is the one I use, has supported SNMP for a long time now. I believe Automat, their system did, Relio, a lot of those, and this one as well, support SNMP. And what's great is there's no wiring, there's no, having to tie in all these, relays and things like that, because it's all handled inside of the device. So I can have a transmitter like a new Nautel on remote control in about 10 minutes. I just need to know what the BIMs are, program those into the remote control to know what to monitor. So it's a very nice, clean way to do it. I know BERT and some other companies, again, I refer to BERT because that's what I use, have interface boxes where you can take relays and inputs from older transmitters and convert that to not necessarily SNMP, but a version they can talk to. And then there are some other companies that make interfaces that take analog control and samples and do directly translate that to SNMP that anything can read. So I use it a lot. I've got on my BERT remote control, I monitor almost all of my sites. I'm working on getting it all done. I probably have about 75 inputs, and it's transmitters, it's thermostats, it's, door sensors, server monitors, all different kinds of things. I've got a silent sensor, and all of that is SNMP. So if it's got a network connection, I can make it work.
And apparently, even if it doesn't have a network connection, you there are ways to give it a network connection, right? With some third-party gear.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there are devices out there that will that basically convert analog gear to SNMP by, you just like anything else, it takes the relay control and status inputs and converts those to SNMP strings. Or depending on the model of remote control you have, some of them sell external boxes. They don't necessarily transfer them to SNMP, but they let you commingle them. So for example, on BERT, some of the stuff is SNMP, some of the stuff is BERT's interfaces. I think there's a bit of a learning curve with SNMP, which is why I think it's so slow to be adopted. Once you understand it, it's actually really, really simple, but it's pretty intimidating at first because there's really no good online resources or anything else to kind of explain how to do it. You kind of have to dive in. And, you can, there's lots of explanations about SNMP, but it's always about printers and which, use it a little bit differently than we use it in broadcast. So I think there's a little bit of intimidation factor there, but it's such a fantastic way to do monitoring and controlling. I wouldn't go back to anything else.
Well, I'm going to give Chuck an opportunity here to tell us about the solution that is available to overcome that learning curve. Chuck, why don't you give us a little tease, and then we're gonna take a quick break, and then you can come back and tell us more. But if this TX Control service that's available, they do a lot of this for you, right?
Almost all of it. You give them the MIBS for whatever product you're wanting to connect to, as Chris mentioned, and what you see is a web page. You, with any device with a browser, whether it's your cell phone or tablet or PC, you log into a site with your browser, and it's interpreting all of it. You don't ever see the SNMP strings. You never have to deal with that. There is a setup process for your initially getting configured up with the system, and they'll help you through it at 22HBG. But as far as all you're dealing with is a web page.
Gotcha. And I'm intimidated by SNMP myself. I went through Tony Peterle's class that he did for a bunch of engineers in Madison, Wisconsin. And yeah, I could make the little duck light up and turn on and off. But that was about the extent of it. So I'm a little intimidated too. Tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out more about how this gets implemented, and then find out what you can do about it. There's some artificial intelligence available when you go to monitor a bunch of sites or even just a few. There's some interesting things that you can combine your operation with views of, let's say, the weather or natural disasters, maybe a tsunami warning, maybe an earthquake warning. There's things that you might do to better prepare yourself. And as an example, and Chuck and I were talking about this the other day, at my house here, I've got solar panels on the roof. I got big lithium batteries in the garage, and the folks at Generac will prevent my battery supply from being used in the absence of sun if there is bad weather on the way, because they want to save the batteries in case my power goes out. Then my batteries will then run. And once the danger is passed, they remotely say, okay, now you can use the batteries, whenever you want to, because the biggest danger of a power outage is now passed. So anyway, it may be that kind of thing. So we've got that coming up from Chuck. We'll find out more about that. Hey, our show is brought to you in part by Angry Audio. And I'm going to have a call on Chris Tarr again to talk about Angry Audio, because Chris, you're Mr. Angry Audio here in terms of usage. I imagine you give a little feedback to the developers at Angry Audio about their products and how they're working for you. What would you like to tell us about Angry Audio today?
Oh boy, I am very excited about their Rave console, and Suncast can bring that up. It's there's still some room for analog audio consoles in places. I mean, there's some situations where you've got a small newsroom or a small studio, or even if you're a small station that isn't planning on doing audio over IP, maybe you've got, one station there and you don't need that kind of horsepower. The Rave is a great analog console to replace whatever you have now. It's fully featured. It's, unlike some of the smaller consoles, it's not like using a, like a Mackie or something like that. It's got Tally capability. It's got remote start capability. It functions just like, there it is. It functions just like a regular audio console. And boy, is it sharp looking. If you look at that metering bridge, it's got, the colorful buttons. That's one of those great little replacements for, I won't mention competitors, but there are some other small consoles out of the market there that are matching this, but the price is still much lower than what you would expect for a console that size. They also have coming out a podcast or a deluxe package that is the same price as some of their competitors' small consoles. And that includes things like the tally lights, the little light bar that they have. It looks like the yellow check lights. Fantastic product. 8 serial light inputs. It's got USB configuration, the whole 9 yards. It's a very, very nice, simple, but very powerful audio console for your small studio or podcast studio. I mean, they're affordable enough where you can do them for podcasting. Maybe you have a production facility, maybe even remote tracking. And you can see here, it will come with the studio signal light and some other gadgets that they're going to throw in as a package deal for podcasters that will get you all set up. I don't know, it hasn't been announced exactly what that package will be yet, but it will be coming out in the Rave package. So be sure to check that out if you have a small studio or maybe you're a voice tracker, maybe you even have a home studio. This is a great way, because again, when you're using things like a Mackie or something like that, they're not broadcast consoles. So you're having to create mutes and all of these different things to make that work. This is all built in. You can mute monitor speakers. You can tally on ear lights, all of that stuff with this console. And it is so affordable that, I think we're going to see these in lots of small media studios. So when things get challenging, get angry. AngryAudio.com. Check out all the things they've got on their site. Problems are solved really quickly when you get angry. AngryAudio.com.
Thanks a lot, Angry Audio. Thanks thanks very much, Chris. Hey, our show is also brought to you by Max Connect Group. And, normally we talk about the Max Connect wireless hotspot, that you get static IP address and internet access, things like that. I'm going to take a little bit different break right now. I've been talking to Josh Bone. That guy has really grown his company. And now he's included a lot of services. So many broadcasters these days, it's getting hard to find broadcast engineers that are nearby, that are quickly available, that are knowledgeable, that haven't retired, as Chuck Kelly was talking about. And so Max Connect Group is offering a lot of services now that can really help you out. Even for us broadcast engineers, we haven't got time to go do this or go do that. Max Connect Group can really help you out. They, can do studio construction, analog, and AOIP construction. They're familiar with all the major brands. They do transmitter installation. They do transmitter site upgrades. They do tower services. They do automation installation and setup. They understand automation systems. Connectivity solutions. You got to get two places connected for STL or what you need backup. They can do all that. They also offer streaming services. So maybe you've been put off by one of the big name streamers or a small name streamer. Well, Max Connect Group offers streaming, also audio processing, installation, and setup. They do grounding. And oh my goodness, that's a lost art. Proper grounding to keep your equipment from getting zapped during thunderstorm and lightning strikes. They do that too. Plus site monitoring and control, due diligence inspections. You're selling, you're buying. They'll do that for you, and they're still required, those NRSC measurements. So check it out from Max Connect. Go to maxconnect.com, MaxConnect, the Max Connect Group, Josh Bone. And thanks a lot, Josh, for being such a service to us here in the broadcast world. All right, it's Kirk Harnack along with Chris Tarr, and also Chuck Kelly is with us, and we are rolling right along here. Let's see. We're trying to get another guest in here, Ame, and I'm going to get him a different link to go to. So stand by me; we may get him in still. Chuck, what do you want to cover next on TX Control?
We were just touching it. The whole concept of how complicated SNMP can be and off-putting, I guess, is the right word. That's the real benefit, I guess, of TX Control, is it takes care of all of that for you. Consider this software that's translating a web page to communicating with hundreds or thousands of different models and makes of broadcast products, transmitters, and other things, and then bringing it all together on a web page that you can see from your cell phone or your tablet from wherever you happen to be. Anytime we talk about connecting things up with the internet, there's an issue, and that is the possibility of having your system hacked. And when you're talking about controlling your transmitters, that's a real issue. And so what this system does is it's running on Amazon Web Services, which has thousands of people associated with or dedicated to assuring IP security. Obviously, Amazon doesn't get taken down very often by hackers. But I think the thing that's important is that the piece between you and that web page is protected by two-factor authentication and works within a tunnel as well. So the most vulnerable part of this whole thing is actually protected by this system on Amazon Web Services. And I think that's really important. Older hardware-based systems are tougher to keep up to date in terms of protecting them against bad actors coming in and taking over your system. And this solves that problem. The other major difference, I think, about TX Control versus older hardware-based systems is its scalability. One of the things that's true about broadcasting these days is that you could be working for a group that's got 3 stations today and 30 stations tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because they require and they're doing all. It's really hard then to integrate to your hardware-based system that kind of system. But with TX Control, it's a piece of cake. You upload the MIB files for the new devices, and your web page adapts for it. So that's I think, a big difference. And you don't have any hardware cost. I mean, the only hardware cost, as Chris mentioned, is potentially if you're trying to adapt an older parallel control type of product. Well, there's very simple things you can get that will create an interface to a parallel control device to SNMP, and that becomes a very, very small cost.
So different transmitter manufacturers have come out with different looks for their dashboards and remote control companies as well, Burk and Autopilot and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to leave anybody out, Davicom and others.
Sure.
I'm part owner of a bunch of radio stations and Chris, you engineer for a ton of stations. I got to tell you, I kind of like the beautiful graphical interface in the Elanos transmitters that we have. We have some Nautel and some Elanos, and everybody's got different philosophies. I was just looking at the TX Control brochure, and I see some sample graphics here and there, and also graphs over time. That's pretty cool. That's right. Something you don't typically get with an instantaneous transmitter remote control. Talk to me about the things that you can quickly graphically see. And also, then let's talk about what you can trends over time.
Sure. So this device is actually keeping track of all the history of each device, and it could be thousands of devices in hundreds of locations, if that's your situation. And it can bring together all that information and display it over time. And because it has AI, artificial intelligence, it can actually make sense of that. I think one of the things that's good and bad in the fact that we've gone to SNMP control and the transmitter manufacturers are making available so much data that potentially we set ourselves up for our phones ringing every 10 seconds if we're not careful. So one of the things that AI can do is to help you figure out what's important, interpret what's important, and send you the correct information. The other thing about AI that I really think is massively cool is the system recognizes that broadcast engineers have been doing more with less for a long time. The technology is helping to make that an easier process of working smarter. For instance, many broadcast engineers sit on a management team and they have a monthly meeting with the rest of the management, and they're expected to provide a concise explanation of how the technology's been working and where there have been faults. This AI system within TX Control actually analyzes the voluminous amount of data you may have for the 30 or 40 stations you're responsible for and types up a plain English report with statistics and information about what actually happened in the last 30 days. And you can configure that to make it the way you want it to be. But it can save you a ton of time.
Chuck, I'm sorry, go ahead, Chris.
keep in mind that with SNMP, you can monitor so many different parameters that you normally couldn't even do with remote, with a regular analog remote control. The transmitter manufacturers will oftentimes give you access to a lot more information of your device than you would normally, than they would provide a regular remote interface. For example, with Nautel, you can get temperatures in each of the RF pallets, currents, voltages, pretty much anything you can think of can be monitored by SNMP. And Chuck's right, you can get into this metering burnout where you want to monitor all the things, and it just makes it a lot more difficult to understand. But what Chuck's saying about that product is that some of that stuff is nice to have. You just don't need it all the time. But to be able to see the trends over time on those certain things, that's something completely different and very helpful.
Yep,
hey, you're right. I have good news. I didn't mean to make this a test for our other guest, give him wrong information. But he passed the test. Let's see if we can bring Ama in now. Earth to Ama, where are you? Is he? Hey, how you doing, man?
It was not easy, but we can say that with the perseverance, we succeeded and with the connection. So, hi to everybody. I would like to apologize also for the trouble we were facing for the connection, but I see that you are really going with the subject. You are talking about interesting things. So I was just listening because you were telling, everything so fine that I don't have anything to say, we can say.
Well, Ama, you're one of the geniuses behind this TX control. You're friends with Chuck Kelly. Chuck, could you give us an introduction? Because I this is the first time I've ever met Ama.
Yeah, Ama is working in market development with 22HPG, and I believe he's located in Ferrara, Italy. Is that correct, Ama?
Yes, correct. You can say that we have a long experience with the broadcast system. We are the Miller section, we can say, of the LNS group, which is a group that is specialized on selling transmitters for audio and TV broadcast. We can say that 22HPG is the digital part of the group. Okay. So we are focused on the developing solutions for optimizing the networks of our customers, and we are trying to, we can say, sync and find solutions in order for them to optimize their solutions and their networks. So this is the basic.
Can you explain, yes, Ama, that I know that there's about 1,500 transmitters that are currently being monitored by TX Control with various customers. Can you talk about a few of those installations and what they find interesting about TX Control?
Yes, actually the system is monitoring all the major networks of Italy, like the broadcast company of Silvio Berlusconi. I think everyone knows who's sure. Silvio Berlusconi, yes. The RAI system also, Radio Maria network, RTL network. So basically, they are using the system because we were searching for a way to simplify the job of the technicians, of the broadcast technicians. We were not searching to give them a lot of information. We are trying to give them what are the main features of the installation by giving them the information of what are the transmitters that are faulty, by monitoring the main parameters of the transmitter, we can say. So basically, TX Control actually give them the opportunity to see the heels of their network. What is more important is that it's a cloud-based, and you don't need to have hardware or something specific to be able to monitor your network. I would say that if you give us all the information of your network, we need only one day to give you the ability to monitor your network without making any kind of hardware installation. Okay. So I think that for, we can say, a technician is very important, because you can focus on the faulty part of your network and optimize also the cost of your maintenances. Okay.
Now, these organizations that you've mentioned are huge organizations that have been around for decades, for a long time.
Yes.
They must have used in the past hardware-based systems. In part, I imagine that this TX control was chosen because it's cost-effective.
Yes, and you should also consider that when you use a hardware, you have many high costs that you cannot, we can say, plan when you are planning an installation. Okay, so for example, with Mediaset, they were having something like 1 million per year for only the maintenance, okay, because they have the technician that they should hire, the technician that should go in every site and check every transmitter if everything is okay. Then, you know, you should plan for each day a group of, you know, technicians that should go to see each site, monitor each parameter, see if everything is okay, and so on. With TX control, we can set up a bunch of thresholds that will constantly monitor the value of the critical parameters. And every time there is something that is, you know, out of the range that you have defined, it triggers automatically an alarm to the technician that is, you know, in charge of a specific device. Okay? So you don't need to go in a site if there is, you know, if there is nothing wrong. You go only to a site when there is something wrong. Okay? And this, in terms of optimization, the time of a technician, it's something really specific, no? And you can also define, we can say, for example, in Italy, and I think that this is available in the other part of the world, you have what we call the SLA, the service level agreement, okay? So with TX control, you can, based on your SLA and the contract you have with your customer, you can generate some monthly reports that give a hint to your customer that you are respecting the SLA of your contract. Okay, I think that this also is an important part of the platform that we should specify, because most of the time you don't have the ability to verify effectively if your suppliers are respecting the SLA of the contract you have signed. So I think that this is also an important part of the thing.
And it's not just Italian transmitters, I think, that are being monitored by TX control. I believe there's transmitters across Europe and maybe in Africa and other places as well at this time.
Yes. Actually, we are discussing a contract also in America. I think that we will make a first installation with a huge network. I cannot give some names because we have signed some NDA.
Yep.
I think that we have made a huge breakthrough on the NEP by winning also the award for the best innovative product. So I think that people also are starting to see the benefit of using this kind of systems, because in the broadcast field, we need time to adopt, you know, some kind of tools that facilitate our job.
Sure. Let me ask you a question, Ama, because it's one thing that I'm not clear about. I know that the TX control has a major benefit of being scalable to multiple kinds of products, multiple manufacturers or products, multiple models within those manufacturers. But also I understand that it isn't limited, or it soon won't be limited, to SNMP, that there are other protocols that are even more advanced that are coming out that are also supported by TX control. Can you fill that in for us?
Yes, we can say that technology is always evolving, though. There is an evolution that you should follow as we are talking about digital technology. So there are a lot of protocols, there are a lot of standards that are available right now, and we are following what we can say the trend of this world. We are facing a world where we always talk about IoT technologies, for example, and you cannot talk about monitoring system if you don't include also those technologies. So basically, actually, we are integrating in the TX control, the MQTT protocol, and the LoRaWAN protocol. Because once you have a site where you would like to monitor sensors, alarm, the door, for example, you have the Web 600 product that allows you to make many things, you know, and it would be a pity to not integrate those protocols in this system. So we are evolving the system more to from a DX control to a site control, we can say. So yep. People will be able to monitor everything you have on the site. For example, you will be able to monitor the fan, you will be able to monitor your sensor, the humidity, everything that will allow you to run your site on the best and optimized way. That's our goal. So this is just the beginning, okay? And also, we are trying also to make something more scalable. Like, we would like to give also the technician the ability to create their own TX control by, you know, developing their specific drivers in order for them to be able also to extend the system. Okay, so this is what we would like to give to the technician. We would like to facilitate their job by not giving them a bunch of information that maybe, you know, will be not true for them. So be able also to choose which kind of parameter they would like to monitor, because in a specific site, maybe there are some particularities that they should be more careful, you know. So we will give them the ability to do this kind of things. So
Very good.
It's a system that is evolving, and
you just
have to use it. And
go ahead, Kurt.
I really appreciate your detailed explanation here. We're going to get more of that in a minute, and look at a couple of pages from your brochure I've picked out that may deserve some explanation and give us some ideas. It's This Week in Radio Tech. It's our 649th episode. I'm Kirk Harnack, along with Chris Tarr, Chuck Kelly, and Ahmad. Pronounce your last name for me. How do you say it?
Gatta.
Okay. All right. I'll try to get it right. Thanks for joining us from Italy. Hey, our show is brought to you in part by Broadcasters General Store at bgs.cc, and their wide range of almost anything you want to buy for broadcasting, they've got it. One of those lines, of course, is Broadcast Tools. Did you know Broadcast Tools have something free? You can get something free from the Broadcast Tools website. It is called the NetSwitch 3. It's a free switcher control and scheduling software. Of course, it works with Broadcast Tools switchers, by the way, both over a LAN or WAN, or those that are serial connected. The NetSwitch 3 is a free PC-based graphical control and event scheduler application for Broadcast Tools switchers. I never knew about this until I was hunting around their website. See, it pays to hunt around websites or listen to Tort. NetSwitch can be used with all of the switchers from Broadcast Tools, including some other manufacturers too, that allow serial or Ethernet LAN WAN operation. This will work all the way back to Windows 7, works with Windows 8, works, of course, with Windows 10, and you can download it for free right on the Broadcast Tools website. Hey, their slogan is Broadcast Tools, problem solved. you got to check out a number of things from Broadcast Tools. And they, if you're not familiar with them, and it's hard to imagine that you're not, but you ought to really do yourself a favor and just spend 5 minutes looking at their website. The front page has almost all their products right there. They specialize in the design and manufacture of innovative and affordable problem-solving tools for us engineers in the broadcast industry. They have a full line of specialty products, high quality analog and AES audio switchers and routers, dial-up, serial and web-based remote controls, satellite channel controllers. That's how I got familiar with them, and maybe you too, using satellite channel controllers for years, analog mixers, distribution amps, silence monitors, and program schedulers. The fast-growing Broadcast Tool product line is available from the top distributors across the USA, like Broadcasters General Store. Broadcast Tools was founded back in 1987, and their products have a strong history of affordability and reliability, and I will say that is absolutely true. Check it out. Go to broadcasttools.com, and if you go to their homepage, you will see just the whole lineup of Broadcast Tools products, and it's all right there. Problem solved with all kinds of things like audio DAs, audio switch, analog switchers, matrix switchers, silence detectors. They even have silence detectors that connect to the interwebs, and you can monitor and use them just with your network connection. Lots of doodads and things to make your job a whole lot easier when you're building a studio or running a broadcast facility. All right, check them out. And check out Broadcasters General Store. That's where you want to buy your broadcast tools from. Why? Well, first of all, they sponsored the show, so I really like them for that. But I personally have been buying equipment from Broadcaster General Store since, I guess, the early 90s, back when I was doing a lot of work for Sam Phillips, the guy who discovered Elvis and owned Phillips Recording Service. Man, that was a long time ago. Built a lot of radio stations with Sam, and including a couple in Memphis and Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Man, he's big in the recording industry, too. And you can give them a call at 352-622-7700 for Broadcasters General Store. Thanks so much, BGS, for sponsoring This Week in Radio Tech. All right, Kirk Harnett, Chris Tarr, Chuck Kelly, and Amma. I didn't get the last name pronounced right.
Jata.
Jata, yes. You know, it starts with a D, right? But that kind of sounds like a G. And yeah, there you go. I'll get it. I'll get it eventually. Okay. I wonder if Suncast could pop up. We got page 13 and page 14 of that PDF brochure. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you guys about the analytics. We got two pages here talking about analytics. We got this this date filter that's kind of covering up the pretty meters there. And then you can tell me what's going on there. And then on the next page, we'll get to that in a few minutes, we have some long-term analytics. So, Amma, what's going on here with this page?
So you already understand that the system gather all the data, allow the technicians to make also some analysis and see if all the parameters are, on the right range, and also see if there is something that they should prevent, or maybe if they see that, the graph has some spikes or some irregular, curves, they should maybe see and go more in depth to see what is going on, for example. So there is a specific part where you can do, every kind of analysis on the different parameters based on the dates, and so on. So this part is the most important part, because if you have time and you would like to optimize your installation, you can, base your optimization through the data without, throwing without knowing what you are doing. So we would like to give, some specific data to the technician in order for them to be able to start their optimization by analyzing the data. So then you will be able also to receive some suggestion with our intelligent artificial intelligence that will give you it will give you some hints on how you should optimize your installation. So this is a new feature that I've introduced this year. I would like to specify that the system constantly checks the status of your devices and sends you alarms if something is wrong. This means that you can also send remote commands like the info, the switch on, switch off, mute and mute. If you see that there is some data that is not normal, in order to avoid your system to break or to have a major break, you can, for example, if you see that there is a parameter that is wrong, you can, for example, reduce automatically the output power in order to prevent major damages. So I think that this kind of functionalities you can implement automatically gives you also the ability to prevent, to damage the investment you are doing, and gives a long life of your for your installation.
All right. All right. Let's take a look at that next page that's got some long-term analytics. How's this useful?
Yes, these are some parameters that you can check. For example, if each technician has the ability to choose the graph that regards a specific parameter and see if everything is fine. So you can see, for example, that the output RF power is okay. On the graph on the right, for example, you see that there is the temperature we are seeing the temperature, for example. You can see, for example, the fluctuation of the temperature based on the day, for example, or also on the weather. So maybe if you have a site that is in a country where in the summer, for example, it's really hot, for example, you can prevent and see that, you know, the values of your sensors, you know, are having abnormal fluctuations. So you can take an action or prevent a manutention, or see if you should buy some, you know, some spare parts in advance, because on that period of the year, generally, you will face this kind of problem. So, you know, it gives you also a sort of a predictive, we can say, action that you can get to avoid some, you know, your installation to go on mute. So this is the major issue that you can find in this platform. You should use it. We can give you a demo account, so you will give us a feedback on, you know, how is the platform for you. So, you know, maybe you will play a little bit with the platform and see what you can improve also, you know.
I gotta say, Chris Tarr, you deal with remote controls a lot more than I do. In your analysis, and you're looking at these first few features we're finding out, what are your thoughts and maybe follow-up questions, Chris?
I think it's great. I'll be curious to kind of see, the reports. I mean, that's what really intrigues me, is the reports, because that's really, you know, the ability to take a look at the data over time is really what's important. Because again, as we were talking earlier, there are so many different things that we'd like to monitor. And I'm not going to put them all on the immediate remote control, because I don't want that kind of information, overload when I log in, because now with the system we use, and I'm positive that the system he's talking about is the same thing, I have different views that I can get. I can log in, I can see everything. I can log in and see certain locations. I can even assign my techs a group. So like my tech for Racine in West Bend, he logs in and sees just those. But to be able to see kind of over time how things are changing, especially with the few tube transmitters that I have left, every time you take a reading, it's just a moment in time. You don't really see over time how things are changing at all. So, you know, that's really what I'm interested in. And also, I'm happy that more people are accepting as an MP. And you know, what I like about this project, as Chuck said, is you don't have to understand it to get the benefits of it. You don't have to take the time to learn how to do bib walkthroughs in a browser and all these other things that, you know, are, again, are intimidating to learn, but are necessary to know if you want to grow your own with using SNMP. So I'm very happy about that, because I think, again, that's something that, I mean, it is, it's the future of how we're going to be doing it. And every piece of modern broadcast these days handles SNMP. For example, I've got adjusted 808 to measure the time delay between HD and analog. And even that has a MIMS, so if it slips out of alignment, it pops up an alert on the remote control. So everything's going that way. So the more that we can get that done, better. But I think what's holding some people back is that, you know, the difficulty to get started with it. So being able to have a group that can really take that, take your ideas of what you need to see and create something, I think it's fantastic.
Chuck, maybe you guys have it. Oh, go ahead, Chuck.
I was just going to mention what you mentioned the other day, Kirk. You mentioned the fact that you'd bought an Inovonics modulation monitor to monitor a number of stations in your market. And it had the ability to monitor all of them, and it was controllable and monitorable via SNMP. So therefore, you can see, actually, do I have audio on all my stations as well?
Yeah. And I'm interested in that about as much as I am interested in what's the temperature of the third PA module in my transmitter. I want some assurance that I'm on the air, and I'd like that assurance from maybe a couple of different ways, different sources. Be cool to integrate also stream monitors. So, you know, my streaming efforts, you know, are working. I've got audio, I've got a stream. I'd like to know that back as well. Have you guys been able to put together an online demo yet that people could go to, or do you need to be walked through a demo? How would that work? I'd love to see this thing.
Amma, how are we arranging demos at this point?
But actually we need some time to, you know, prepare specific because we are lacking transmitters, we can say, because the period is not a good period. But we can make a demo. There is not a problem for this. And there is also a little surprise I would like to give you, is that the same thing you are seeing on the web-based demo, you can have it also in an application, in a mobile app. So you will receive not SMS, but you will receive a push notification every time there is something wrong on your installation.
Sure. Okay? Sure.
So, you know, you are always aware of the status of your network.
We can arrange a 30-day demo, right, for a particular. So if Chris Starr wanted to put his network on TX Control for 30 days, no charge.
Yes, we only need a list of devices because we need to prepare to retrieve the MIB, to see which are the parameters he would like to monitor, to prepare also something understandable for a long technician. Guy who's using the demo, and then you are available to monitor your devices. This is only what it takes.
So sadly, we are closing in on the time that some of us turn into pumpkins and have to go. We got one more commercial break to take, but I would love, you know, I think a lot of engineers like myself who haven't used very much at all SNMP, when we see it well integrated into a dashboard situation and instantaneous numbers and long-term graphs, we're going to be amazed at the information that the equipment we already own can give out. You know, if it's got an Ethernet jack on it, and hey, I work for a manufacturer, I work for Telos. At first, most of our gear didn't have SNMP. It had some other ways to correlate and collect data, syslog in particular. But, you know, over time, a company like my employer, Telos Alliance, has put more and more and more SNMP into products so you can monitor things in real time and get alarms. I believe that engineers like me are going to see demos of this and going to go, wow, I kind of always dreamed and hoped my gear could report all this. And look, it really can if you know how to reach in, grab it, log it, store it, display it, all that kind of stuff. Hey, we've got to take a quick break. We'll be back just in time for a quick tip in just a minute. Our show is brought to you in part by Broadcast Bionics and the incredible Camera One system. We'll be right back.
Camera One from Broadcast Bionics, designed to bring video to your audio content, visualizing radio and podcasts for social media. Camera One can automatically create, capture, and brand professionally switched video for live streaming or upload, making your production shareable. Control and configure using a web browser on any device. Camera One is available as a 4-camera or 8-camera system using the Blackmagic A10 Mini range, including the A10 Mini Extreme. You can use cameras to suit your studio and your budget. You'll need one camera for a studio wide shot and usually one camera per microphone. A standard multi-channel sound card or IP driver monitors audio from each studio microphone, and we work natively with Axia systems. Ideally, this will be a post-fader feed from each mic, although you can use pre-fade audio or a mic split if that's all you have available. These audio levels are used to intelligently switch the video feed when each contributor is talking. You can also group microphones together into one shot and use the audio from a mixer's aux bus. You can use Camera One's auto switch feature, or disable it and switch using the on-screen buttons or the buttons on the ATEM. Recordings can automatically start when you tell the system you're on the air. This on-air indication can be linked to your studio's red lights via IP or an Avantech Atom GPIO interface. You can quickly browse all the videos that have been automatically created during your broadcast, download them, and post. Camera One is a user-installable system. You'll need a good-spec Windows 10 PC, i7 with plenty of storage, and 16GB of RAM. It's better if this machine isn't used for anything else. Remember, you can control the software in a web browser on another device on your network. Camera One, a thrifty way of creating scroll-stopping video from your show or podcast from Broadcast Bionics.
Awesome stuff always from Broadcast Bionics. Check them out at bionics.co.uk or bionic.radio. Thanks so much, Broadcast Bionics, for what you do to make content creation better and easier than ever before, and meaningful too. Okay, we got literally seconds to go. Chuck Kelly, can I give you the last word on checking this technology out?
Yeah, thank you, Kirk. I'm just fascinated by the potential of this technology. It does an awful lot today, but the opportunity for it to grow in the future, adding features through artificial intelligence, is a differentiator. If you have a hardware-based remote control system, not only is it very expensive to get started, but it also can't be easily updated in these kinds of ways. And with this system, as they make the changes, they roll them out through Amazon Web Services, and it happens imperceptibly. You don't even have to know it's happening. You get it upgraded while you sleep. So I think the technology has got a lot to offer, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
Chris Tarr, I often think of you as Mr. S&MP, even though you and Tony Peterly have both been part of my education. This just makes me more than ever want to really check into S&MP when I've got a service that can make it meaningful and log it. And I know there's other ways to get that done, but this just makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Well, there's no excuse now. I mean, you know, you might be intimidated by it. It might seem difficult, but now there's no excuse to not use S&MP. So I think that's great, and I think that everybody needs to hop on that train.
All right. Amma Jatta, thank you very much for joining us from Italy. I appreciate you being with us, sir. Thank you.
Thanks to you for your patience, and viva TX Control.
Well, and hey, I'm proud of Amma because he got on the show even though I gave him the wrong link, so there you go. He must be a hacker. All right. Gentlemen, thanks so much. We'll have links in the show notes, especially links to the brochure that describes a lot. I'm looking forward to this guy. I'm thinking, here's a business idea. Contract engineers, what if you had a business to monitor all your clients' transmitter sites? And of course, you would give them access to their own group of transmitters, but you could provide a service to provide them with advance warning of things going wrong. Hey, this fan is speeding up, and yet the temperature in that module keeps going up. Maybe there's a clogged air filter. You know, there's all kinds of things that I think we could determine. And a clever broadcast engineer, clever directors of engineering, clever contract engineers could figure out ways to make this a real service to help people just operate smoothly and consistently. Maybe Chris Tarr would join me in such a venture. I don't know. What do you think?
I might be down with that.
You might be down with that. I'll let you handle the S&MP sure. part. I'll handle the money part. How about that?
Very good. Works for me.
Okay. Hey, folks, thanks a lot for joining us. Chris and I will be back next week for episode 650. Thanks to Chuck Kelly and Amajata for joining us as well. We'll see you next week on This Week in Radio Tech. Bye-bye.